Praise God.
Is this one working?
Yes, not. Wow.
Elder
Bill says, well, choir is getting bigger. We need to praise God for that.
Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm so happy to be here today. And I know that often when we have speakers, pastors come and elders come and say, well, I'm happy to be here. And then we kind of get used to that. But I tell you today, I'm really happy to be here. I thought last night that I won't be able to make it today, but God is good. And I'm here today. I'm here. Praise God for that. Now, I need to say thank you, Pastor Roman, for being here. And I think we need to talk outside because you have put me in a difficult spot now. Being with the balloon and all this stuff, I don't know if I can follow your step, brother. I can hear my kids asking, Dad, can you do that? I'm like, no, I can't. I try. Welcome to those who are here in this church for the first time. I don't know if it's anyone who is the first time in this church, but welcome if this is your first time. Those who haven't seen for a while, welcome back. And of course, those who are watching online right now, we want to say welcome. And those who are going to watch this service later on, welcome. And pray that you receive a blessing from the Lord today. I know time is moving fast, and we need to get going. Amen? Amen. Well, about a month ago, not even a month, about maybe 3 weeks ago, everybody was involved in this holiday, or I don't know if you want to call it holiday or what, Valentine's Day. It was a special one, right? Well, come on, say amen. I know you were there. I know some of you dressed up and red and went out to have a nice dinner and all kinds of stuff. But let me just go back for a minute to that day and share with you some of the things that happened during that day. It was expected here in the United States that $19.7 billion was spent on Valentine's Day. $19.7 billion. And I'm thinking myself, can we get some of that? I mean, that's a lot of flowers. A lot of flowers and chocolate and all kinds of stuff. Now, people were looking for five items, if you will, that I'm sure that some of you did. Before we get into that, let me just share with you. This is our hashtag for the day. Amen? I know Sister Rachel is looking at it. Yes, that's all we have for today. This is the hashtag that I want you to share on YouTube and, Twitter and Facebook. But God, which is the title for today, But God, and then Amazing Love, Teach and Preach, which is our theme for the year, and Sabbath in Troy. All right? So get it there. Find your phone. Don't play with your phone. Don't go and find anything else. Just go there and share that. Okay? That's all you need to do. All right? Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now. So this is Valentine's Day. People were very excited, very happy about this event, and I don't know who received a big, giant, bear. Hopefully not a real one, but yes, some of the people went out and got some of these gifts. This is for the five items that people look for most. They search and buy these things. Okay, they look for what? Chocolates and jewelry. Of course, that don't apply to us, praise God. And but people look for this stuff, right? And if you see in the bottom there, this was the amount that would cost just to get the stuff. Now, in the US, this is a map here that says where the money was spent the most. Here in the northeast area, was spent the most. People were buying stuff. I don't know what's going on in this area here, but I guess we like to please people, all right? Now, that graphic that you see there is from the 2012. So I'm sure that now it's more than that. Now, let me share with you some of the things that will probably impress you or depress the love out of you. Some things that probably will impress you or depress the love out of you. It says that 53% of women said that they will break up if they don't get a gift during Valentine's Day. Praise God that we don't have women like that in church. Oh, come on, brothers. Let me just stop right now. But 53% of them said, if I don't get anything for Valentine's Day, you better find your way out, brother, because you're out. Listen to this one. 40 million people will get on their knees on Valentine's Day and ask the question, will you marry me? 40 million people. One out of every five people will buy something to their pets. One out of every five people will buy something for the pets. If you go out there and buy something just for your pets, that will be $681 million. I think I need to get a dog or something. Maybe you guys give me something, I don't know. That's a lot. Now, 50% of singles said that they're going to be proud of their relationship status. Okay, 50% of singles will say, you know, I'm good. I don't need to worry about Valentine's Day or anything like that. 1.9 million people will change their Facebook status with just 1 week after Valentine's is over. Oh, I did not went to check your Facebook status. It's there. Very interesting. I know that some of the things are just kind of silly and funny for you, but this is the reality of things. This is the nation that we are living right now. That's how people act and, you know, treat each other when they want to share their love. Now, when you think about these things and how the things that you do to impress somebody or to demonstrate how much you love that person, it's kind of sad. When you think about it, the amount of money that you spend to show somebody that you love that person. But what I don't care about the gifts or the things that you do on that day. What is kind of sad is that for one day, you want to change your whole attitude. You want to change the whole things around. Because for one day, you want to show how much you care and love somebody. I mean, what's going on with the rest of the year? But yet, in one day, you want to show your wives and your husband and your kids and everybody how much you care. And when that day is over, guess what? We go back to the same things that we did before. I mean, I know that you probably heard about the guy who says to his girlfriend, you know, for you, honey, I will go to the highest mountain. I will climb and I will put something beautiful for you up there. And then he keeps saying, I will go and sweep the deepest ocean. Oh, man, women are getting excited now. And then he keeps saying, I will just give my life for you. Oh, that sounds so good. But she says, oh, honey, that sounds good and beautiful and all that stuff. But the only thing that I want for you is just to take the garbage out. And now she's saying, and now he's getting mad and said, well, but what's going on? Now you want to take advantage of me? Now, this is the same guy who will say, I will go to move heaven and earth and do great things for you. What happened? Yeah, we like to talk, but we don't like to move to actions. They said that talk is cheap. Action requires true commitment. How can you show someone that you really care and love that person? How you show that? How can you tell somebody that you love them without using words? And we know that great actions always speak louder than great words. Takes commitment. Try for a minute to show how much you love somebody without using words. And I have a list of some ideas for you. We're talking about people that we love, right? People that we care. The first thing that we must do is make time for them, right? I mean, if you love somebody, just make time for them. I thought somebody would say amen for that. Make time. I mean, I know ladies love the fact that the husband spend time with them. They want to make time for them. Another thing that I would like to share with you is listen to them. Okay, you guys are still sleeping today, but it's okay. It's all right. Listen to them. Amen. We want to be listened. We want to be heard. I'm not talking only about the women's in church. Boys also want to be heard. Come on. Amen. Say amen. Yes. It's nice once in a while to also go out and just give a kiss and hug somebody. Especially with your kids. They grow so fast. Make their life easier for them. Make their life easier. I mean, just help out. Help out. Do something. Try to help them. Make their life easier. That doesn't mean that you have to go and give money and give all kinds of stuff. Just do something once in a while. Surprise your parents. Surprise your husband and your wives. Do something nice for them. I mean, it's nice when your father and your mom is coming back from home and you have the house all clean and everything looks nice. It's good, right? Just give random surprises. Another one here. Just give random surprises. I know a lot of people don't like that, but it's nice once in a while just to give surprises. Husband, one day you say, you know, honey, just go and I will take care of you. Just take my, I don't know if I'm going to put the brothers in the spot right now, but just take my card now and go to the mall and go to do a spa and something like that. Just have fun. Just a random surprise. Oh, come on, brother, say amen. Amen. I know I put you in the spot, but that's okay. I'll be back next month and preach. Praise God. Once in a while, you can cook for them. Now, I know that some of you are looking at me right now. Pastor, you don't go there. Well, I know that I cannot cook. And some brothers know that I cannot cook. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that I'm proud of that, but it's the truth. I cannot cook. I tried some things, but I cannot cook. But if you do, cook for your wife. Now, I can find a way to, you know, to replay that. Since I don't know how to cook, I can clean the house. You know, I put things quite well in order. If you don't ask my wife, she will tell you. But the things that we have here, the things that I just shared with you, that's the things that we do for somebody that we care. For people that we love. For people that we have something in common with, right? I mean, if you love somebody, that's just nice to do something nice back to them, right? But what if we are called to show love to those who are not quite nice to us? What is if we are asked to love somebody who is not that lovable? I mean, I'm talking about those people who are just mean to us. Those co-workers that when you go to work, you just are praying in your way back to your work environment. And you are praying in your mind that you won't see that person today. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about. You have these co-workers that is just take the best breath out of you every single day. Every time that you go to work, you know that you're going to see that person. And you are just praying in your mind that you will not see him today. That will you not see her today. Maybe I'm talking to somebody who has a terrible neighbor. Who always give you a hard time with playing music so loud that you cannot go to sleep. Maybe I'm talking with somebody who has friends and family members who are just difficult to deal with. And when you see those friends and those people in the supermarket, you want to hide from them. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You find the your way out of the milk spot, or you want to go somewhere people don't can find you. You're just hiding from them. Or maybe you are in this family meeting and you know that cousin John is going to be there. And you know that when he's around, he's always trying to give you a hard time. He just want to be bullied to you. And he just trying to talk about your past and always something terrible. And, you know, you just want to be around them. We all have some family members like that. Come on, say the truth now. You just don't want to be around them, right? Maybe you have a friend who can, when he call you, you see the phone call and say, I don't feel like I want to talk to you right now. So you ignore the phone call. Because they don't deserve your friendship. And when you are in the playground and your children are there, you don't want your children to play with his children. Because they don't deserve your friendship. You don't want to be around them. They're just mean people. Bad people. And when they call you, they just want to talk to you about how messed up their life is. And how many troubles there are right now. And the depths they are facing right now. And the things that is going on. There's too much going on. And you're not ready for that drama in your life. So what you do is you just ignore them. You don't want to be around them because every time that you see them, you know there's always something mean and bad and sad that they're going to talk about. And you just don't have time for that. They don't deserve your friendship. I mean, I'm talking about with people when you are in these meetings and you are to try to present an idea to the board or to the, you know, to the committee, and you are presenting your idea and everything seems to be so nice and you work so hard for your PowerPoint presentation and you bring all your papers and all your ideas are out there and everything seems so nice, and that person already, before you start, you haven't finished yet, and that person is already in their minds like, what is this guy talking about? I don't like the idea. And you can see his face. You can see the body language that he is just in disapproval of your ideas. You just don't want to be around people like that. We don't want to talk to them. They don't deserve our friendship. That's exactly how we act and behave with those who don't deserve a friendship. I mean, it's so easy to say that you love somebody when they are so nice to you. But have you ever stopped to think about what will happen if Christ will say, I don't want to die for you. You don't deserve my love and grace. You are just mean people. You are difficult to talk with. I don't want to be around you. Think about it. All your fault, all your problems are because your fault. So you don't deserve my friendship. So glad to know today that God is not like us. Even though he knows who we are. He knows who we are and what we do. He show his love anyway. My topic for today, but God. But God. Father, I thank you once again for your mercy and for your goodness. This is your time, oh Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to understand this. Every time when you feel discouraged, when you feel down, when you feel like you don't belong, I want you to go back in the Bible and look some of these but God verses in the Bible. Look for some of these but God moments in the Bible. And I'm so thankful to know that you should be too, that to know that God's involvement in our lives is just involving in our lives because he can show how much he loves each one of us. If you search in the Bible for this phrase, but God, you will find that phrase 43 times. It's just a small, very small two-word phrase. But this word communicates a tremendous message to all of us who can hear that. In fact, allow me to suggest today that when the Bible uses the word but God, it is God's response to Satan's challenge. It is the bottom line. It is the last word. It is a powerful statement on how much God loves each one of us. But God, too many times we look at things through our own eyes, and we can only see failure. But God tells us to look at things and see it as God sees them. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you today, this morning, to put your kingdom glasses and see things the way God sees them. I want you to know today that it's not over yet, until God says it's over. And sometimes, for those of you who like sports events, those of you who like basketball or baseball, sometimes when you go to watch these events on their TV, or maybe you go to the stadium and watch the games, and you can see that your team is losing. They are about to go in the last inning, and the Mets are down, or the Yankees are down, or the Braves are down, or I don't know who you like, but they are down, and you are just, I don't want to watch this game anymore because they are down. They are about to finish the game. There's only 3 outs left. And sometimes you just want to turn off the TV. But next day, next morning, you find out that they were losing, but next day they won the game. I want you to hold on. It's not over yet. Because God is not done with us just yet. Don't quit too soon, because if you leave too soon, you will not see the end that God is having for you. Open your Bible. Go to the book of Romans. Book of Romans chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1 through 8. But we're just going to read here from verse 6 through 7 and 8. Let me tell you the context. Paul is talking about how we used to live and how our character was all messed up and how our life used to be and how we are used to be in shame and away from God. But now in verse number 6, we can finally see something beautiful about God's character. And verse 6 says, "You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." And verse number 7 says, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. True, for a good person, someone might be possible there to die." Verse number 8, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What a wonderful to know that God is a special God. And every time we can see in the Bible one of those powerful bold God moment in our life. Verse number 6 says, "You see, just at the right time, Christ came down and died for you and I." Just at the right time. Not 1 minute earlier, not 1 minute before. Just at the right time. Maybe you are going through some things right now, and you are thinking that you are about to lose your mind. But I want you to know that just at the right time, God will come. Amen. Just at the right time, God will provide an exit out for you in the midst of your situations, in the midst of problems. God demonstrates his own love for this in us. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, we're talking about while you're still in sin, Christ died for us. While we did not deserve his mercy, his goodness, he came and died for us anyway. While I was doing things the wrong way, while I was watching things that I shouldn't be watching, he came and died for me anyway. I'm so glad to know that in the Bible, we can see time after time that God is a but God. While you're steering sinners and sin and doing wrong stuff, God came for you. Imagine someone dying for you while you were their enemy. Can you do that for somebody that you don't care about? Will you go to a stranger and say, "Let me just die for you right now"? Will you go to somebody in jail and say, "You know, I just wanna die for you. You know what? Let's just switch place right now. I know you are in jail. Let me just take your spot. Come outside in freedom and let me just take your spot. That sounds crazy, right? You will not do that. But guess what? God did it for you. He took a spot. He came down for you and I. God's love is no better demonstrated than this. On the cross, he died for you and I. To die for someone who is your enemy is the most powerful demonstration of unconditional love that there is. When we're still enemies of God, he came and died for us. Jesus Christ came and died for you and I. God's participation in our lives should be bringing to each one of us a clear and better understanding of his love for you and I. Look at this now. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. This is from the New Living Translation. And it says this. This is here on the screen. It says this. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. The Bible is speaking to me now. I don't know how you feel this morning, but I think this is for me. Bible says here, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. In other words, you don't deserve my grace. You don't deserve my mercy. You don't deserve anything good out of me. At one point, because of disobedience and your many sins. And keep saying, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of powers of the unseen world. He is a spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God. Verse 3, and all of us used to live like that way. All of us used to live like that, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. But our very nature was subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Verse number 4. But God, come on now. But God, so rich in mercy, he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sin, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And it's only by grace that you and I are saved. Praise God. We were dead in sin, but God made us alive with Christ. We were captive to the powers of this world, but God raised us with Christ. We were children of the anger of God, but God, instead of giving us punishment and bad things, he said, I will take you so you can live with me forever. These two chapters present to us a great contrast on how we used to live, the things that we used to do, how you used to do things before, and now we can see by the power and the grace of God who we are now. And let me say something. Maybe some of us still don't get it, because maybe some of us is still in this sad situation. Maybe some of us is still in the mess of sin, in the midst of misunderstanding, and we don't quite get that God came down for you and I. And we're still asking ourselves, but I'm just in much pain and trouble. I don't deserve God's grace. I don't deserve to be his friend. But God is saying to us, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what people are saying. What matters is that I love you and I care for you. We need to understand that people are trying to get closer to Jesus. Amen. We all trying to know him better. We all trying to find out how can we improve our lives. We want to get closer to God. And Satan knows this. And of course, he doesn't want you to get closer to God. So he trying to bring you down. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Every time that you're trying to get closer to God, Satan tried to do something to bring you down. And I'm so glad to know that. Because if you are in the midst of something right now, if you are facing a challenge in your life right now, it's because Satan is trying to bring you down. That only means
that you are getting closer to God. Oh, come on now. If you are running with Satan, he does not need to worry about you. But since you are getting closer to God, he's trying to do everything to bring you down. He will send people to church. Yes, in church, to bring you down. He will send people to your home to bring you down. But God is faithful, the Bible said. He will not let me fail. I praise God this morning. Because Satan is trying to bring me down. But God is faithful. God is faithful. I want you to look this one in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This one is very well known for everybody here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And this one is from the International Standard Version. It says this: no temptation has overtaken you that is unusual for human beings. But God is what? Oh, come on now. But God is what? And he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength. Instead, along with the temptation, he will also provide what? A way out. So that you might be able to endure it. God is faithful. And yet, in the midst of your temptation, he is faithful. He's there. And the Bible says here very clearly that no temptation is unusual for human beings. I mean, whatever you're going on right now, you're not the only one facing it right now. Just because you are facing something right now, that doesn't mean that somebody else have gone through that before. Oh, are you listening to me? Whatever you're going on right now is not new. Your temptation, your problems is not unique. It's not different. Somebody else already have that before. It's right there. No temptation has overtaken you that is unusual for human beings. It means somebody else already went through that. So since your temptation is not new, your problems are not new, also the way out is not new. It's always been there. The way out has always been there. The way out is just to have a relationship with God. Oh, come on now, church. The way out your temptation and problems and difficulties in life is when you have a relationship with God. If you want to have a relationship with God, you need to pray. You need to pray. Come on, talk to me. You need to what? Pray. You need to read the Bible. You need to read the Bible. You need to worship God. And then you need to do Christian service. That's your way out. Maybe you were expecting for something theological and meaningful and something very deep, but that's it. That's all you need to do. You pray, you read the Bible, you worship God, and then you go out and do Christian service. That's all you need to do. That's the only way we're going to develop a real and meaningful relationship with God. And in the midst of situations and problems and trials, when we pray and when we read the Bible and we worship God and when we go out, we are saying, I'm taking a stand for Christ. I will stand and I will say, I will not bow to Satan. I will move forward because I already have my way out. Now, we need to understand something, that Satan's like to talk. He is a sweet talker. Oh, come on, somebody say, he like to talk. He like to talk. Tell somebody, he like to talk. So he's always trying to find something bad about us. He's always trying to find something mean about us, and he like to share that. And he doesn't need to go to Facebook to say that. And actually, the Bible said that he's the accuser. Revelation 12, verse 10, the Bible said that he is the what? The accuser. And when you read there, it says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been what? Cast down, another version says. But this is in heaven, brothers and sisters. Satan is talking bad in heaven. Are you getting this? Now, can you imagine yourself? If Satan is talking in heaven with the angels, he's trying to put the angels down. He's trying to confuse the angels. What about us? He is the accuser, the Bible said. So he's talking now. He's talking about us. He's a talker. And when you listen to him, you are in trouble. Because Satan says, you cannot make it on your own. But God says, I am with you every day, all the time. But Satan, he keeps talking. And he said, hold on to your problems. For no one can help you. But God says, cause all your cares for me, because I care for you. And Satan says, take the easy way out. But God says, the race is not given to the strong, but to the one to endure it to the end. Satan says, your enemies have surrounded you. Come out with your hands up. But God said, I will make your enemies fall before you. Satan says, sickness will follow. But God says, by his stripes, we were healed. Satan says, there's nothing else that doctors can say. There's nothing else that doctors can do. But God says, I will change the result of analysis. Satan says, I will make you a slave to sin. But God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that if you believe in him, and if I believe in him, I will have everlasting life. Brothers and sisters, don't listen to the lies and disapproving words of our enemy. We need to realize today that God has the final word. See things from God's perspective. We need to pay attention to what God is saying, not to what Satan is saying. Satan says defeat, but God says victory. Satan says deceit, but God says healing. Satan says hate, but God says love. Satan says destruction, but God says restoration. Satan says division, but God says unity. Satan says you are rejected, but God says you are redeemed. But you see, Satan is still talking. And now he's trying to make me lose my faith. And now he's still talking about me. He's still talking about the things that I did before. And by this time, I feel kind of discouraged. I feel kind of down, because probably the things that he's saying are truth. But then God says, let not your heart be in trouble. Come on, church. Yet believe in God, we believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Don't let Satan talk your way down. But he's not done yet. He's still speaking. He will not be quiet. He's still talking. And now he's just trying to say to me that I'm not worthy to enter to the kingdom of God. He's saying to me now, you're not worthy, you're not ready to enter to the kingdom of God. And now he's just presenting in front of me all the things that I'm doing right now. And now he's just taking my mind and presenting to me the things that I did last night and the week before and 2 years ago and 4 years ago and 20 years ago. And he's bringing all my past back, my bad decisions and my bad experiences. Everything is just cloud and darkness around me, because he's bringing all my mistakes, all my past situations, everything is in front of me now. And now I feel kind of sad and destroyed, because some of the things that he's saying is truth about me. Some of the things that I did is true. Some of the wrong places that I went is true. The people that I used to go out with, it's true, I used to do that. I used to be like that. I used to do that, and I used to talk like that, and I used to dress like that, and I used to drink that, and I used to eat that. And this is all truth. But God says, I died for you. And now you are clean. All everything is in the past. Everything is forgiven now. The Bible said that you are a new creation. Oh, come on now. I'm a new person because God loved me so much that my past doesn't any longer have anything to say anymore, because my future belongs to God. Amen. God will not hold my past against me. You see, God is a wonderful God. But Satan is still talking. And now he's saying, you will not make it. You see, you're all by yourself. Your husband left. Now you have to deal with your kids all by yourself. Satan is still talking. And he said, well, your mother left, your father left, and you are just all by yourself. And he's still talking. See, you are in church, but people don't like you. They don't want to sit with you. They don't want to talk with you. They don't call you. They don't care for you. And he's still talking. And by this time, you kind of feel discouraged. And you feel all down. Because you are the one who don't get along with people. And when people see you at the supermarket, instead of you hiding from them, you are the problem. See, you are the one when you go to the family reunion, you are the one who cause division and cause all kind of distress, because you are the one who are always make fun of other people. See, when you call somebody, you are the one that people ignoring you call because you are just a mess. You are the one who always talking about your situations and your mistakes and your problems and other things that you did and how messed up your life is and how sad you feel right now. And people I have brought don't want to be with you. And when you tell your kids, nobody want to be around you because you don't deserve their friendship. But I'm so glad to know that when there's nobody else around me, God is still there. It doesn't matter what side I am. Maybe I am the one who caused all the division and problems and sadness around my family. Maybe I am the one who are trying to avoid people. But it doesn't matter where you are. The important thing is that God cares for you and he loves you anyway. And he loves you anyhow. You're not perfect. I am not perfect. But the important thing to know is that God is perfect. He loves you. And he cared for you. You need to understand that that's all we need. We need God in our lives. You need to understand today that we are in trouble on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You might have weakness, but God has strength. You might have sin, but God has grace. You might fail, but God remains faithful. Praise God this morning. He is a wonderful God. I remember growing up, they said to my mother, you will never see your child grow old. He will die probably around 15. He's always getting sick. It's always something with him. You're just talking about me now. By the age of 16, he will not make it. He's going to die. I'm sorry to tell you the news, but he's going to die. I was too skinny back in those days. Now I put some weight on me, but people look at me and say, it's any time now. He's going to die. But I'm still here by the grace of God. Some of you thought that because you got a divorce a couple years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you thought that you were going to lose your mind. But by the grace of God, you're still here. Amen. Some of you talk because your husband left home and you are you by yourself now and you have to deal with kids and all these things. You thought you're going to lose your mind. Guess what? You're still here. Because God's grace. And because God is faithful. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been. What you need to understand is that God is faithful. And when you feel down, you need to go back in the Bible and find some of those good bold words in the Bible. Nobody thought that you will make it today, but God says, I have your future in my hands. Nobody thought that this day we're going to be here in this church, in this building, but guess what? God says, I will provide for you a place for you to worship. Some people thought that we're never going to grow up, that we're never going to have a beautiful building, and people are never going to come to church. But guess what? God says, I have people everywhere that will come just at the right time. They will come. Praise God. Because we have a God, a wonderful God. Brothers and sisters, I just stopped to tell you today that if you follow God's ways and if you let Him guide you, and if you seek after His will, you will find that there's nobody who can do things like God. He can open doors that no one can close. He can close doors that no one can open. I don't know about you, but I just know that at one point in my life, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was confused, but God gave me direction. I was blind, but now I see. I was trapped in sin, but now I am free by the grace of God. I don't know where you are right now. I don't know what situations you are facing right at this moment, but I want you to know that God is here for you. His amazing love is here for you. And I want to make an appeal. I don't know if this is working, brother. This is working. See, sometimes we feel like, you know, I just want to give up. You know, pastor was good, preaching was all right, elders are all right, you know, church is okay. But deep inside of us, there's something that we don't know how to deal with. We come to church every Sabbath, and it's another beautiful worship, and children's story was beautiful, and the potluck is going to be great, and everything is just fine. But deep inside, we have issues and problems, and we feel discouraged, and we feel down, and we don't feel like, I don't just want to give up, and I don't want to be here. What is the point for me being here in this church? When I think back in my mind and I can see that my father is no longer with me. And I think and go back in my mind and I see my husband is no longer with us. And I can see how my children are. And I just feel sad and I just don't want to be here anymore. I want you to know something. This is the place, the perfect place to be in. Not because the building is beautiful, but because God is here. He wants to touch you. He wants to reach out to you today. He wants to speak to your heart. Yeah, you probably have gone through a lot of stuff in your life. Think about it. Reach back in your mind and think about one of those but God moments, and you will see that it is by God's grace that you are here today. But maybe there's something else that you need to do. Maybe someone here needs to come forward and say, you know what, God, you have done a lot of things for me. I need to do something. Not for you, but I need to do something for myself. I need to get closer to you today, Lord. I want to feel your presence today. I cannot wait any longer. I cannot wait until tomorrow, this afternoon. I want to feel your presence today in my heart, in my life, in my home. I cannot move anymore without you. I need you today, Lord. If you are facing some of these challenges in your life right now, you know who you are. I want you to ask you to come forward. I want to ask you to come forward. Don't be afraid. This is something between you and God now. Don't be afraid. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. If you are facing a situation now that you don't feel your way out, that you don't know how you're going to survive this, come forward. I want to pray with you. I want you to know that God is with you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It doesn't matter if you are a church leader. It doesn't matter if you are just visiting for the first time. It doesn't matter who you are, what position you hold in church. It doesn't matter. The only thing that you need to understand is God is here today for you. And He wants to reach out to you. Stop the pain. Stop the suffering. God is here to give you rest. God is here to touch you, your heart, to touch your mind, to touch your body. This is the day that you can come closer to God and say, it doesn't matter what people think about me. It doesn't matter what I've done in the past. What matters is that I have a wonderful God who cares for me. Bible said that if you confess your sins, God is faithful and He will forgive your sin. He will not remember your sin any longer. He will not remember your past. He will not hold anything against you. This is the day of the Lord. I want to make a second appeal real quick, because I know there's somebody here maybe who hasn't been baptized yet. Maybe there's someone here who would like to make that commitment and surrender your life to God. If you are here this morning and you would like to give your life to God, I want you to come forward. You haven't yet been baptized. At this time, while church members are praying, I want to ask you to come forward. You haven't yet been baptized. If you would like to be baptized one day, I want to ask you to come forward. I want to ask you to come forward. Maybe you are already here and you just want to take a step, one step, come forward, one more step. If you haven't been baptized yet, come forward. While the members of this church are praying, there's somebody here who are struggling with that decision. Maybe there's somebody here who would like to stand up and say, God, I want to follow you. I have my issues, I have my problems, but I need you right now, Lord. So help me, because I want to follow you. If you are here today, please stand up. Don't waste anymore. Stand up. If you are here today, if the Spirit of God is touching you, stand up. Stand up. Is anyone else who would like to come forward? Is anyone else who would like to come forward? Anyone else? Let us pray then. Father, here we are, O Lord. In the midst of our mess, carrying out our sins and troubles and bad decisions and everything, we are full of sadness and confusion, oh Lord. Well, today we want to say no more. Today we want to feel your presence in our hearts, Lord. Today we want to ask you to change our hearts, to change our mind. Today we want to surrender everything to you, oh Lord. So we need to feel that amazing grace who can save somebody like me. I'm so glad to know, Lord, that there's nobody who can save somebody like me but God. Help us, Lord. Give us the strength that we need to
to go forward. Help us, oh Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.